You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, January 10, 2017.
And it is the job and the mission of Bloomington United to provide a path and a blueprint of what to do to create and promote a strong, diverse, and caring community.
The anti-hate group, Bloomington United, announced their reformation this morning. We'll hear from that announcement later in the program in today's feature report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, how to protect your money in six steps. That's coming up on a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
The Environmental Protection Agency is considering adding Spencer to a list of cleanup sites. That's according to Congressman Todd Young's office. Groundwater contamination in Spencer put the town northwest of Ellettsville on the EPA's national priorities list yesterday. The EPA said groundwater contamination along Franklin Street in downtown Spencer could warrant a federal Superfund site. The EPA says the downtown groundwater is contaminated with the chlorinated solvent tetrachlorothene, or PCE. Superfund sites receive federal funding for long-term cleanup projects. The White River flows through Spencer.
Monroe County Community School Corporation is working to fill the local need for child care. MCCSC Superintendent Judy DeMuth says the school's corporation warehouse on Miller Drive will be repurposed into an early learning and child care center. Speaking in yesterday's work session, DeMuth said this is the third year MCCSC has considered creating such a program.
It became very evident that we needed to rise to the occasion this year when the Y closed their program, IU kind of consolidated their program, and so there's a real demand in this community to have a facility that can care for babies and toddlers. And so I was in a meeting recently and said, you know, nobody does it better than we do, so we're going to give it a shot, and we hope that we can overcome the financial pieces that the others have experienced.
DeMuth says the effort will likely model the school corporation's existing child care program at the Hoosier Hills Career Center. That program serves children aged 6 weeks to 5 years old. Costs to parents for the new program have yet to be determined. DeMuth also gave board members a heads up on a local initiative to bring a Goodwill Excel Center to Monroe County. DeMuth says a number of Monroe County businesses are advocating for the adult high school program operated by Goodwill Industries. She says MCCSC needs to be involved in the conversation, given its own adult education program.
We cannot say no, this can't happen.
Right.
Let me just say that. We have to be there helping to mold it, mm-hmm. and it appears that all of those companies are very willing to have us at the table.
According to excelcenter.org, there are 12 existing Goodwill Excel Centers in Indiana. The work session was preceded by a reorganizational meeting during which members approved a new slate of officers. Kelly Smith, now board president, Lois Sabo Skelton is vice president. Kathy Fuentes Rohr will serve as secretary, and former board president Martha Street will act as assistant secretary. Smith and fellow board members approved their 2018 compensation.
Board compensation will remain the same as previous years and is per statute. Board members shall receive $2,000 as basic compensation for their services each year. They will also receive a per diem of $112 for each regular meeting attended and $62 for each additional meeting attended.
Board Member Keith Klein and Superintendent DeMuth noted the board has not moved to increase its pay this year.
How long has this been that this has been at this rate and not gone up?
It's been prior to me, Mr. Klein, because you've been consistent.
I think it should be noted.
Yes.
That the board has not increased its own.
That is correct.
Right.
Thank you.
For a long time.
Yes.
DeMuth became superintendent in 2011. The next meeting of the MCCSC Board of Trustees is scheduled for Tuesday, January 23rd.
Carrier Corporation announced the final termination of 215 employees at its Indianapolis manufacturing plant today. The firings of workers at Carrier became a focal point for President Donald Trump's campaign last year. As the corporation began to move jobs to Mexico, Trump promised workers at the air conditioning manufacturer that their jobs would remain in Indianapolis, through a deal he personally negotiated with Carrier management. A press release issued today stated Carrier workers would receive severance pay and 6 months of health benefits.
The Monroe County Health Department is creating a new full-time health educator and harm reduction position in response to the opioid crisis. Health Administrator Penny Cordill says a newly received federal harm reduction grant will fund the position.
So this will allow us to have a health educator that is focused on harm reduction and working with the syringe exchange program, doing HIV testing, hepatitis C testing, helping take really some of the work off of our current educator who's been absorbing a lot of these new things. So the naloxone distribution to community partners and those trainings and some of those things.
Cordill comments came during yesterday's Monroe County Council meeting. Council members unanimously approved the new health educator position. Council Vice President Jeff McKim voiced his support.
I am just so proud of our county and the health department and the commissioner's office and just their commitment to a harm reduction approach. Thank you very much. I think that is so important, and I know that not everyone in the state shares that commitment to that approach, but I'm so glad.
The council also approved a request for a full-time adult services case monitor from the Monroe County Prosecutor's Office. Executive Director Beth Hamlin says adult protective services across the state are experiencing heavy caseloads.
And this position was created to be someone that can follow up in sort of a social work capacity after an investigation, if an investigation is substantiated and referrals for services are recommended. This person can, primary duty would be to follow up on those and make sure that the resources are being accessed. This person will also receive reports of suspected abuse and neglect of endangered adults.
During the meeting, Council Member Cheryl Munson announced the Purdue Monroe County Extension Office is organizing its 2018 Citizens Academy.
Each of the elements of county government are covered in this program. And there are also visits to various departments, including the jail.
The Citizens Academy will be held one evening a week from February 7th through April 4th. To learn more, visit the Purdue Extension Monroe County Facebook page or call 812-349-2575.
Western Skateland in Bloomington has been in operation for 47 years. Now, the skating rink is up for sale as its octogenarian owners and their 60-something-year-old children plan to retire. Commercial realtor Chris Cockrum says originally the business itself was up for sale, but now the property is on the market as well.
The goal in the very beginning was to try to sell the building and the business together and keep that resource, that family resource in Bloomington. That's what they would love to do. We kind of went down that path with a couple of different buyers. The problem that we have is the real estate value is, you know, over $1 million. And so with the business value of a couple hundred thousand, so we've got a price of $1.2 million on it. It just makes it hard for someone to buy that property and maintain a skating rink.
Cockrum says Western Skateland's owners would like to maintain the 20,000 square foot building as a skating rink, but are hoping to retire in 2018.
It's a very solid business that they've ran. It was they've kept everything up to date. All the skates, all the equipment has been kept in top shape. The flooring itself is probably valued at $250,000. They have a beautiful wood floor. You know, it's just been a staple in Bloomington. It would be great if we could find a buyer that wanted to carry on the tradition. It's a good location. So, you know, that's our first goal. One of the things I will mention, you know, as we see the baby boomers retiring, I'm finding more and more businesses that are in the same situation. People that are that have ran the business for, you know, 40, 50 years looking to retire. So I've been called upon a lot for these types of businesses looking for, you know, the transition into retirement. So, you know, the Western Skateland is one of them, but one of many that we may see hit the market as these business owners look to retire.
Cockrum says Western Skateland is currently on the market for $1.2 million.
Support for WFHB comes from Cardinal Spirits Distillery, located on the B-Line. Cardinal Spirits has opened a new kitchen featuring local and seasonal food made from scratch to complement their craft cocktails. Dinner available Tuesday through Saturday at Cardinal Spirits, 922 South Morton Street. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. Bloomington United started as an anti-hate group after the murder of a Korean IU student by a neo-Nazi in 1998. Now, the group is reforming in response to what founder Rabbi Sue Laken Silberberg calls a resurgence in hate groups and rhetoric. Rabbi Silberberg has announced the official reforming of Bloomington United during a press conference in Bloomington City Hall this morning. In today's feature report, we'll listen to Rabbi Silberberg's announcement from this morning.
We are a coalition of community members with the mission of promoting educational opportunities that affirm the value of all human beings, bridge the differences between people, and resist and respond nonviolently to hate activity in our community. I remember when we formulated Bloomington United back in 1998, a group of us were approached by the mayor's office because there was a member of a neo-Nazi hate group here in Bloomington that was littering our community with hate literature. We were told that if this group perceived that there was no pushback from the community, their actions could quickly escalate to violence. Even though we didn't know quite what to do, and we didn't know quite what the right response was, we knew that we had to do something. So we formed Bloomington United because we believed that we could make a difference, and we also believed that the majority of Bloomington residents were against this group's message of intolerance and hate. We had a rally against hate, and we asked the community to send in money so that we could make signs that said Bloomington United, no hate, not in our yards, not in our town, not anywhere, and on the other side, Bloomington United in diversity. We didn't know how many to print or how many we would be able to afford, because we were relying on people to mail in checks. And I know that's a little different from today, no Venmo, no internet. But what was truly overwhelming were the number of checks that poured in. We had checks mostly ranging from $10, the most I think I remember was $50. And from those checks, we were able to print over 10,000 signs. And soon, Bloomington was virtually blanketed with those signs. And on the 4th of July in 1999, we were getting ready to march in Bloomington's 4th of July parade when we heard about some very tragic news. That member of the neo-Nazi hate group that came to Bloomington had gone on a shooting rampage that began in Chicago in West Rogers Park, killing three Jewish citizens there, and then he killed Coach Ricky Birdsong from the Northwestern basketball team. And then he killed Won Jun Yoon, who was a graduate student here at IU in front of the Korean United Methodist Church. We still remember and honor all of them, and especially for us in this community, we still remember Won Jun Yoon. We decided at that point that we still had to march in the parade, because we had to stand up for what we believed, even though we didn't know at that point where the shooter was and whether or not it was safe. But we knew that in spite of that, we had to stand up and proclaim our unity and our support and look for the support of the Bloomington community. And we received it that day at the parade. Bloomington United went on to sponsor a community gathering to heal and unite. And over the years, Bloomington United has continued to respond to hate activity in our community with more signs, with articles in the newspaper, and with various different campaigns and responses to hate, such as our Every Minute Counts campaign, which was a campaign where we took pledges when another hate group came to town for every minute that that group was in town and disparaging our citizens. And we raised a lot of money, and that money went to support every group that they disparaged. We also had a number of proactive diversity initiatives, such as study circles, that helped us to get to know, honor, and respect one another. I learned something very important from my years of work with Bloomington United that taught me why this group is so important and why we're here today to affirm our existence and revitalize the importance of our work. Most people are loving, caring, and giving, and they want to do the right thing. You're proving that today by your presence. And most people do want to help each other and want to be part of a diverse and positive and caring community. But sometimes as individuals, we feel powerless. And it is the job and the mission of Bloomington United to provide a path and a blueprint of what to do to create and promote a strong, diverse, and caring community. This past summer, I was in Poland, and I walked through the death camps of Auschwitz and Birkenau. And even today when I describe it, tears start to come to my eyes. But at that moment, as I was walking through the camps, it's hard to explain the intense grief, anger, and sadness that I felt. And in the midst of those feelings, I was struck by the realization that I had always heard the powerful words of Elie Wiesel, "Never again." I was taught that we must remember the Holocaust so that it will never happen again. But what I realized very powerfully that day in Auschwitz and Birkenau is that remembering is not enough. Hitler didn't cause the Holocaust on his own. Certainly he was evil and he was the mastermind behind it. But it was all the people who didn't take action, who didn't care, who supported what he said, or who didn't believe it could possibly happen, or stood by because they felt that they were powerless to do anything, that truly allowed the Holocaust to happen. And we can't do that today. Over the past year, we've seen an increase in hate groups in America and around the world, and we've seen some public support for hate. We've seen, and some of us have experienced, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, anti-Muslim feelings, anti-LGBTQ feelings, anti-immigrant feelings, anti-women feelings, and activity, and so much more. We witnessed the horrible events in Charlottesville and other similar rallies around the country. And we must never underestimate the strength of hate, apathy, and feelings of powerlessness. Instead, we must always remember that we have the power to stand up for diversity and to create the type of society that we want. And that's why we're here today and re-energizing Bloomington United. And before I welcome our mayor, I just want to add the words of Meep Geese. She was the woman who hid Anne Frank and her family during the Holocaust. She said, "Even an ordinary secretary or a housewife or a teenager can, within their own small ways, turn on a small light in a dark room." And then she went on to say, "I'm not a hero. No, I did what I had to do because it was the right thing to do. That's all." May her words remind each of us that we must band together because one plus one plus one plus one builds our community and enables us to create the world that we want to see. So again, I thank you so much for coming today to show your support. And now please join me in welcoming Bloomington's 26th mayor, Mayor John Hamilton. He's committed to building a better future for all of Bloomington and focused on helping Bloomington become more equitable so it works for people from all walks of life. Thank you so much, Mayor, for joining us today and speaking.
That was Rabbi Sue Lakin Silberberg speaking during a press conference this morning at Bloomington City Hall. Silberberg announced the reformation of the anti-hate group Bloomington United. The full press conference, including Mayor John Hamilton's remarks, will be available on WFHB's website following this broadcast.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Protecting your identity is still a good idea, even though you'd better assume that your personal information has already been stolen and is being sold on the Flim Flam network. But since it's probably only a matter of time before some swindler targets you personally, it's more important than ever to protect your money. Here are six things you can do. First, change your passwords. Do it now, and do it every so often. Yes, it's a pain in the thing you sit down on, but it's your first line defense. Always choose the strongest, longest, and hardest to guess password you can think of, and never use the same password twice. Second, don't be rushed. Slow down and think before you do anything with your money or your personal information. Scammers always want you to hurry, so you won't have time to figure out you're being conned. Whether something comes up on your computer, on your telephone, or even right at your front door, the more urgent it seems, the more you need to hold your horses, keep your shirt on, be suspicious, and take your time. Third, ignore phone calls, emails, and text messages from anyone you don't know. If you think they might be legitimate, check them out by a web search or a phone call before replying or even acknowledging you got the message. And if you get a message that appears to come from someone you know but is unlike them or unusual or wants you to open an attachment or click on a link, especially if it's something urgent, contact that person directly and make sure before you do anything else. Fourth, shop online only on secure websites where the address starts with HTTPS and where the little padlock icon shows locked. And make sure you're at the real website. Crooks can fake even the sophisticated websites of big companies, so don't go there by clicking a link. Type the address in and then create your own bookmark. Fifth, play it safe and pay it safe. Online or on the phone, use a credit card, not a debit card. Mailing a check? It's got your bank account number and the bank's routing number on it, so don't leave it in your mailbox. Take it to a locked box or to the post office. And finally, keep a sharp eye on your numbers. That means checking over your bills, your bank accounts, and your credit rating all the time. Question anything you don't understand and do that immediately. You can access your credit rating free every year on creditkarma.com or annualcreditreport.com. And there are now four rating services, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion, and Innovus. So check one every 3 months. That'll keep you in the loop. You are going to be attacked sooner or later, and the only one who can really defend your money is you. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at wfhb.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@wfhb.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Our engineer today is Dan Withard. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. Recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. And stay tuned for the Shortwave Report with Dan Roberts, a weekly look at headlines from around the world. Coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.